Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me. What? Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth, with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm. Rage in the field, soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a
penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible.
Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them.
I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, 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 and welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Sword of Truth, sponsored by ISBHPK Presents. Bible Talk. I'm your brother, as always, your host for this morning. How's the pie, y'all? Welcome to the show. Hope everybody is happy and healthy, and everybody had a good weekend, man. COVID is not gone, y'all. It's still lurking out there. So make sure everybody is staying on their regimen, man. Garlic, man. Garlic, garlic, garlic. Garlic is what I'm on right now. It's my favorite, y'all. Garlic is great for blood flow. It is antibiotic. And, man, it tastes good, man. So I'm on the garlic, y'all, and it's helping me out. I've been staying pretty healthy. Besides the weather changing up, man, this destruction of the Most High's creation, his planet, which he made for us in the first place, in the form of global warming, or just Esau just tearing up the ecosystem in general, man, is really plaguing me right now, man. Sinus issues. And I'm getting over it now, man, but when it hit me, man, I was down for a minute. I'm kind of struggling through it now. Still got some phlegm going on, man, and honestly, it kind of was feeling like damn COVID, to where I had to take a test, make sure I didn't have the cocoa again, man. And it came back negative, but it was feeling like the cocoa because I had that phlegm. And for us that's had the cocoa, the coronavirus, COVID-19, y'all know what I'm talking about, that phlegm that you would get. And then I had a damn headache. And every time I woke up, I had a headache, man. So that's what I was thinking, man. So, but the test came back negative, but what the hell they know? You know what I'm saying? Because they were saying that those tests weren't 100% anyway, man. So anyway, y'all, let's get on with the show. Baba Kwata Wab, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew, y'all. And like I always do, let's get Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24. And it reads, "This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So good or bad, happy or sad, man, Most High about the truth, he's going to bring you through it on the other side better than what you was before, man. So we got to embrace whatever it is that we're going through. Hold on for a second, y'all. Let me get this.
As I bow to your throne, I pray for love, joy, peace, and happiness to be present in my home. Well, I do. And let your Holy Spirit dwell in my heart and in my mind. Please give me strength, 'cause I get a little weak sometimes. I need help from you just to see me through.
I'm back, y'all. I'm back. Man, Mashaba, I got to say, man, I have not heard that one, but that sounds like an oldie but a goodie. The brothers, the OJs right there. See, you add a little something. That's what's up. All right, y'all. Forgive me for that brief intermission. Had to get my tea settled. All right, y'all, this one right here. Because I'm going to start with the news, y'all. And if you're not familiar, first time tuning in, what I usually do is I do about an hour of news, current events, or just things that's on my mind I want to talk about, man. Let me get this right here. There we go. Oh, yeah. I forgot to do that, man. So let me send shouts out to ISUPK. I'm sorry, ISBHPK. And ISUPK too, man, you know. 12 tribes worldwide, man. But sending shots out to our brother schools and VA, Brother Kazaki up there, holding it down. doing big things. And y'all got to check him out, man. Kazaki has got some bad merch right now. Israelite merchandise with the Ten Commandments written in Hebrew and written in English. He's also got those fly-ass bracelets, man. You can get your tribe put on it. You can get whatever you want to get inscribed on the bracelets. Let me see if I got the site, man, real quick. Yeah, I got a little time. I think I should still have it so I can get that out to you. Hey, Quatazar, man, I ain't forgot. I'm coming down, brother. I've been busy, man. I got to go pick up my plaque. Hope the brother's still holding it down for me. So the website is ETSY.com. Let me click on it real quick. Yeah, that's it. ETSY.com. And open this up. So it's custom made. Let me see. They don't have all the info for it. Man, Kazakia, if you're listening in, brother, or anybody listening in, y'all know the website, the full website for the custom-made wood plaques and bracelets and stuff, hit me up and let me know, man. But the brother's got some beautiful pieces, man, that he put together. Oh, somebody hit me up now. Oh, here it is. The Water Labia cart page. ISBH PK. Let me click on it. Okay, here we go. Yeah, it's ISBHPK.com. And he's got all the merchandise listed on there, man. Like I said, it's some fly stuff Kazakia got going on there, man. But he always be coming with it, man. So shouts out to that brother up there, the brothers Ainala in Rochester, New York, doing big things up there with the brothers. What is my charge at, man? Come on. And also, man, shouts out to the brothers here in San Antonio, doing big things on the mark moving. And still holding it down with Eastern Fragrances at Rolling Oaks. Go check the brothers out, man. You need some smell good. If you need a move, hit them up on the mark moving, man. I also want to send a shout out to the brothers out at ABQ, Mashaba and the crew. Shouts out to Cabo Cab down in Guatemala. And I want to get a sister a plug also, man. The sister, Nasita, man, she's starting up her herbal business, man. So she's a licensed herbalist, y'all. And she's got her product out now. And if you're familiar with the sister, you can hit her up personally or you can catch her on Facebook. And I'll get the information from the brother Sapar. So we can support the sister's business, man. She's got some nice healing products, man. They gave Mashaba some samples for something for, and not to put your business out, but most people know you, they know your situation, for diabetes. And he said it worked pretty good, man. He said it worked pretty good. Also, the concoction that she had put together for a sister up in VA. So the sister, she's doing her thing, man. Like I said, I'll get more information so I can give y'all the links to her business. Hold on, Labia, you got that too? If you got that, hit me up with that. So I can get everybody out that information. So shout out to Israel doing big things, man. Like I say, 12 tribes worldwide, man. Love my peoples. So let me go ahead and dive on into this, man. There we go. So this one struck me, and I don't even know how. Some of this stuff I just be coming up with, I don't even know how I got on my computer or whatever. And you know, they be programming us, programming our devices and lining up stuff for us to just check out because they know what we're thinking. Anyway. This one right here, y'all, is from World Religion News. And I didn't know that this struck me as to be kind of interesting. So the headline reads, congratulations to the Church of Scientology on the anniversary of Dianetics. I guess the anniversary was on May 8th. L. Ron Hubbard, founder of the Scientology religion in 1952. But the beginning of the movement was actually the publication of Dianetics, the modern science of medical health, 72 years ago today. So I didn't even know that this whole Scientology crap started from mental health. It says the modern science of mental health. So that's what their aim was. It was about mental health is what they're saying. It says in this book, forms the foundation for all that followed. So the whole Scientology was based off this book, which was dived into mental health. It says on May 9, 1950, it had been a mere 5 years since the end of World War II, but an undercurrent of anxiety pervaded the culture in the early days of the Cold War, a phrase George Orwell coined only months after Japan capitulated after Japan surrendered. That's what it's saying. That was the state of the world when L. Ron Hubbard wrote in his first chapter of Dianetics. So they're saying that after World War II, you remember everybody was shook after World War II because Esau dropped the bomb. He dropped those bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And basically destroyed, obliterated the place to where vegetation and just human development would be, what's the word I'm looking for? Not be the same. And they would have a struggle with a lot of birth defects and things of that nature. If you get time, man, go online and check out the birth defects from the radiation that was in Hiroshima and Nagasaki after America dropped the bomb, after Esau dropped those bombs over there, man. And what a lot of people don't know about that is the war was already pretty much over. Japan, they didn't formally surrender, but, man, they were done. They were done. Long story short, the U.S. did not have to drop those two bombs on them, but they dropped those bombs on them because they wanted to see what they would do. That was the first thing. They wanted to test it out, and that was the perfect testing ground for them, especially since it was on another nation that didn't look like them. And then, too, the second reason they wanted to check it out, they test it out, they wanted to show the world their dominance. And that they did, man. That holds true even to the day because a lot of people are still scared of America because of its military weaponry. And that's why a lot of people were shook. But it told us that in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 2, and Daniel chapter 7 is referred to as the iron. It talks about how the fourth kingdom was going to have iron. That's talking about the Roman legion, man, and the way how swift the army rolled. And we know that we're in the latter end of the Greco-Roman Empire, that being America, man, and their military is still of that of iron, man. Nobody's really trying to mess with America's military. And you see brothers, some brothers, you know, they got weapons and they're going to learn how to do military tactical tactical stuff. And I see it, and I mean, it's good for recreation. And I say it's good for recreation, man, because nobody's going to beat Esau when it comes to any type of weaponry or military, because that is his blessing. That is definitely his blessing. No, so nobody's going to beat him at what he was blessed with. I'm sorry, y'all. I was trying to read some at the same time. So I guess the site for the sister is Herbal Health Awareness. Herbal Health Awareness. That's Nasita's website for her herbal stuff. The Water Lobby, I appreciate that. But back to what I was saying. Nobody's going to beat Esau, man, at war. He's the man of war. No, nobody's beating him at that. So, like I said, it's good for practice. It's good for recreation, fun, or whatever. But don't think that you're going to be better at warfare than Esau, who invented warfare and who's the master of it. Anyway, going back to what I was saying about World War II, so the mental state of the people after World War II, everybody was scared, man. They was wondering when would this weapon, a weapon so powerful, be used again to destroy as many lives as it was. So what they're saying is that after World War II, the early days of the Cold War, Ron Hubbard came up with this Dianetics crap about studying mental health. So let me pick back up. It says that was the state of the world when Ron L. Hubbard wrote in the first chapter of Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health. A science of mind is a goal which has engrossed thousands of generations of man. Armies, dynasties, and whole civilizations have perished for the lack of it. Rome went to dust for the want of it. China swims in blood for need of it. And down in the arsenal is an atomic bomb. Its hopeful knows forearmed in ignorance of it. So this whole Dianetic stuff originally started as the study of the mind. Now, you can go so many different places with this, but when I hear and I read this, it immediately reminded me of the movie The Manchurian Candidate. And if y'all never saw that movie, that was based on actual events and actual programs and experiments that the CIA held, and one was called the MK, what was it? Yeah. MK Ultra. And in the MK Ultra experiments, they were experimenting with the mind. Experimenting with the mind and also experimenting with the spirit. Because we know that the mind and the spirit are linked together. They're one and the same. But they were trying to go into the spiritual realm. And that's why they would use in that MK Ultra program mind altering drugs such as LSD. It's an hallucinating drug that puts you in the spiritual realm. You ever heard about people going on bad trips? They used to have this posted a lot, too, like on WorldStar and just on YouTube. I don't know if they still do it, but they would show, like, you know, young kids, and unfortunately, it'd be us most of the time. They had taken some type of drug, and they'd be on what's called a bad trip, and they'd be in the middle of the street, rolling around in the street, and just out their damn mind, man, contorting their body up, twisted all up. Well, that's being in the spiritual realm where we shouldn't be, man. We listen, the Most High has boundaries for a reason. There's things we shouldn't see. There's places we shouldn't be spiritually. And there's things that we shouldn't touch that are awful for our spirits. That's what and I covered it a little bit in my class dealing with reincarnation. You remember Saul went to go see the lady who was a witch, and he told the lady to bring somebody back for him? Y'all remember that? That's witchcraft, y'all. But we still have people that's doing that this day and age, and unfortunately, it's our people. When you go see the psychic, when you go see those mediums, a medium is what the lady in the scriptures was, and was it First Samuel? That's what she was. A medium is somebody that can go on the other side into the spiritual realm and bring a spirit back, and her body becomes the host for that spirit. So you can talk to that spirit through that body. They'll just bring the whole spirit back. Where the spirit is there, you can talk with that spirit like she did with Samuel. Y'all seen the movie Ghost? That's what was going on in that movie. The movie Ghost. What other movie was it? Matter of fact, Netflix just did a show. What was the name of that damn show? Man, I forgot. But it was going into the exact same thing, man. And it was a pretty good show, man. It was creepy as hell. Man, I forgot the name of it. But anyway, point in doing all this, and I know I'm doing a lot of rambling right now, y'all, is that this Scientology, Dianetic stuff is witchcraft. That's basically what it is, man. In a nutshell, it's with witchcraft. And remember, the Most High said he suffered a witch not to live. So that one there got me. Let me move on to this one because I got the last one. I'm gonna be on for a minute. Where do I want to go? This one right here. Listen to this, y'all, and I talked about it last week, and this has been an ongoing topic on and off, but the topic of abortion, man. So now, and I read the article last week that said that a document had been leaked about abortion and how they were going to make it illegal nationwide. So now, check trip off of this, and this is from NPR, y'all. It says, Senate passes bill to give police protection to families of Supreme Court justice. Yes, you heard it correctly. Senate has passed a bill to protect the family of court justices. Why, you ask? Because they're about to make that bill, as far as Roe versus Wade, they're about to make the abortion ban a reality. They're just getting prepared for it. So the article reads, it says, a bill to grant security for the families of U.S. Supreme Court justices unanimously passed the Senate Monday. The Supreme Court Police Parity Act would provide police protection to immediate families of the 9 justices and other officers of the court if the marshal determines such protection is necessary, the legislation says. The bill, which was introduced by Senator John Carney, a Texas Republican, will now go before the House of Representatives. Threats to the physical safety of the Supreme Court justices and their families are disgraceful and attempts to intimidate and influence the independence of our judiciary cannot be tolerated, Carlin said in a statement. The bill follows a leak last week of a draft Supreme Court opinion that, if unchanged, would overturn Roe versus Wade, the 1973 case that federally legalized abortions. A protest and vigil against the move was organized at Justice Samuel Alito's house Monday. So they went to this dude's crib and was protesting. Ain't that something, man? Take the fight to somebody's house. That's bold, man. It says, because it's been impossible to reach him at the Supreme Court, and this is a quote, especially now with the enormous fences, we will do it at his home. So because they couldn't get to this dude and annoy him at his job, they came to his crib. They showed up at his crib, man. Like, wow, man. First of all, you really bold to show up at my job. How you going to show up at my work? He's like, you so crazy? Boy, I said the chick showed up at his job. He's like, what? He's in my job. Why you in my job? But that wasn't enough for him, man. They took it to this dude's crib, man. And it's crazy to see just how bad this place wants to kill their kids, man. That's crazy. But the Most High told us this. Let's get Job chapter 30, man. The Most High told us this about these people. So this is Job chapter 30. And let me start at verse 5. It says, they were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief. Now, and I brought this out several times before. Michelle has brought it out also. But y'all ever seen that evolution chart? You know the one where they have a monkey, and then it turns into an ape, and then eventually a man? Where they left off the part of the chart, at the beginning of the chart, when that man, which we know is the Neanderthal, which we know the Neanderthal is Esau, the so-called white man, they left off a part where he stood straight up like a man. He stood straight up like a man, and they want to talk about evolution and him evolving. Well, what's the opposite of evolving? I don't have a word for it right now. It escapes me. But he didn't evolve. He, what's the word? He regressed. He regressed and turned into something that he was not made to be. So they started out standing up straight, then eventually ended up on all fours. Well, this is what it's talking about in Job chapter 30. I'm going to read it again. Job chapter 30. In verse 5, it says, they were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief. And where were they driven to? Verse 6, to dwell in the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth, and in rocks. So this is talking about who? The caveman. Your very own caveman that you see portrayed in shows like the Flintstones. And so in that TV commercial, Geico, so easy, so simple, even a caveman can do it. And when you see them portraying those Neanderthals as cavemen, who is the people portraying them? Their ancestors, their offsprings, the so-called white men, because they truly are the cavemen. Remember, when you read in the scriptures, it tells you that Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. The Caucasians, or the white people, when I gave it away, they refer to themselves as what? Caucasian. Why is that? The word Caucasian means cave dweller. There's another word for troglodyte, which means cave dweller. They commonly refer to themselves as Caucasians, as cave dwellers. Why? Because they came from the Caucasus Mountains, between the Red Sea and the Caspian Sea in South Georgia, Russia. And you know what's so interesting? They, and I heard about it, Vladimir Putin, Vladimir. He did a speech, and he kept referring to Mother Russia. Mother Russia. Why are you calling Russia the motherland? And I'm sure y'all seen it in the movie. You remember that Rocky movie? Well, Rocky fought the Russian, and he kept saying, Mother Russia. Why are they calling Russia the motherland? Because they're right. That's where they came from. That's why Russia is their motherland. That's where they originated from. You know, like you got niggas walking around talking about the motherland, back to the motherland. The movie was famous back in the 90s when we was walking around with them damn African medallions with the red, black, and green on them around our necks, talking about motherland, Africa. We had it right, but we were so wrong. Because the motherland is actually in Africa, and that would be the Garden of Eden, which was in the land of Canaan. But Canaan is part of Africa. I know they refer to it as the Middle East, but that's really Africa, y'all. Anyway, just like we used to call and refer to Africa as the motherland, this is Vladimir Putin saying, hey, Mother Russia, that's our motherland. That's where the so-called white man originated from those caves. He knows this. There's so many secular sources to validate that, and we're reading it here in the Bible. So let me read this again. We're in Job chapter 30, verse 5. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief to dwell in the clefts of the valleys and caves of the earth and in the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed. Under the nettles they were gathered together. Verse 8, listen to this. This is the part I want to get to. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. But it said they were children of base men. To be base men, you're just the lowest thing on the planet, man. There's nothing you won't eat. There's nothing you won't drink. There's nothing you won't do. You're adventurous. You like to experiment. Who else could this be talking about but the so-called white man? There's nothing you won't do. It said they were children of fools. Only a fool would allow its society to kill off its society. Why are you trying to kill off your own society, man? And this is why now they had to make a law that you can't kill your kids no more, because why? Their society is dwindling. Their numbers is dwindling. And I said this before, I even pulled the stats up to show everybody. They know that they're becoming the minority. This is why they're passing this law. But they was fools in the first place for allowing it to happen. Read this again, verse 8. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. They are vile. They are foolish. And these were the offspring of these very same people now saying, hey, you can't kill your kids no more. And you have the people from that same group that are against them saying, no, we want to keep killing our kids, which shows you that foolish behavior. Like it tells you on Obadiah, there's no understanding in this dude, man. How is you killing off your people good for your population? How is that good for your country? But now we got them going toe-to-toe against each other, like I covered last week. It told us in Daniel chapter 2 that the latter end of this kingdom will be partly strong and partly weak. And I was bringing about how their morals are very weak. This country has no moral laws even. They're trying to get one now by saying that they're making abortions illegal. But like I said, they're only doing that because their numbers are dwindling. But they have no moral laws. And look what it's brought them to now. But I ain't mad. I ain't sad. Because all of these things have to happen, y'all. They have to happen in order for us to make it to the kingdom. This is the beginning of the end. So I'm happy to see Esau and them fighting and going back and forth with each other. That means our salvation, like Scripture says, our salvation is nearer than what we believe. So that's that, y'all. Now I want to dive into this, man, because, and I promise y'all, I wasn't even going to touch this, but there's been so much outrage over it and so much, so many people coming out, and it's our people coming out talking crap, and I'm talking about the death of Kevin Samuels, y'all. R.I.P., rest his soul. So you've been having a lot of our people come out talking crap about this brother and how they glad he died and they throwing parties celebrating his death. And the people that celebrate, man, like I said, it's us. And the majority, when I say us, is our women. Our women. Now, when I originally heard it, because I seen, not really watched Kevin Samuels, but I would like, you know, you see him on the on your, like, a YouTube thread, stuff they suggesting for you to watch. And I maybe seen him, maybe a minute or so of what he was saying. And I ain't really agree or disagree. It was just, you know, I just checked something out. Long story short, y'all, he originally died. I was like, man, that brother dead? And I remember, because what I was saying, he was going in on some sisters or something. And I was like, oh, that's what he do. Oh, he be smashing sisters like that. Like, man, he be a little hard on sisters. And like I said, y'all, this is from just the little clip that I saw. So then everybody going back and forth. I'm like, man, let me check this dude out. Let me see what this dude was really about. So I go on and start checking some of his stuff out. And, yeah, he was smashing the sisters. But they needed to be smashed. The brother was telling the truth, man. He was telling the truth. And that's why you got black women coming out now smashing his memory. I just seen some crap about Vivica Fox talking about karma. He was a shock jock and all this other mess. First of all, Vivica, ain't 50 Cent still running around talking about how he was eating his groceries? And you still ain't married, right, Vivica? You still ain't got a man, right? But you talking mess? Really? And you wonder why you're by yourself. You wonder why you can't find a man. So this is my take on it. Let's go to Lamentations, y'all. And I know a lot of people that's listening, they might stop listening right now. And, you know, it's always like that, man. Whenever you start talking about women and the things that they do that's stupid, foolish, or wrong, then you the villain. You the villain, and ain't nobody trying to hear that, man. And they've given a platform to women to do that. And all this did was made men weak as hell. And then now they're coming up with this damn term, toxic masculinity. What the hell is that? So you acting and talking like a man is toxic masculinity? What's wrong with some damn masculinity? That's what the world is missing. Everybody's so damn emotional, even men now. Anyway, let me get into it, man. So this is my take. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 13 or verse 3. And this is a biblical perspective on what this brother was talking about. It says, even the sea monsters draw at the breast. They give suck to their young ones. So a sea monster, ugly creature, but it's still going to do what? Take care of their young ones, right? It says, the daughter of my people has become cruel like the ostrich in the wilderness. But don't nobody want to talk about that. Don't nobody want to talk about how you go to the mall, you see the mom, hair done, face done, she G'd up head to toe, she Gucci this, Fendi this, or whatever designer. And then you look at the kids that are behind her that she's yelling at, tell them, come on, head nappy, nose running, pamper sagging. Don't nobody want to talk about that, though. But if you say something about it, there's a host of excuses people got for this sister. Oh, well, you know, the nigga she was with wasn't S-H-I-T. Well, she the one picked him. She the one picked him. And you hear a lot of women saying, a lot of odd women saying that. Men ain't it. Men ain't it. And I forgot the comedian that said, no, the niggas that you mess with ain't it. Why are you attracting these ain't it niggas? You want to talk about karma, as Vivica put it. Karma is in the Bible. Whatsoever a man sow, he shall also reap. Meaning what? Whatever you're putting out is going to come back on you. So the women who with the men that ain't it, as they put it, you're putting that ain't it out there in the atmosphere, out there in the universe for it to come back to you. And you're complaining about receiving what you're dishing out? Read the scripture again. It says, even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostrich in the wilderness. And I'm talking about sisters in the world as well as sisters in the truth, man. Because where are you coming from? What have you been indoctrinated with? The ways of the world. If you were that independent woman, that educated woman, there was a certain spirit that came with that. Domineering, you a know-it-all. But in all of that, you weren't taught what? How to be a mother. How to be a mother. So your kid's walking around with a nappy head. You ain't combed the kid hair in a month. And I'm talking about for the sisters that got daughters. Why is that? You want your kid walking around looking like that? That is an example of you and you being a piss poor mammy. Why would you allow your kid walking around with a dirty face? And our women be like, oh, well, they should know how to do. They should know how to wash their face. They should know how to comb their hair. How are they going to know when you never taught them? How are they going to know how to do these things unless they taught? Don't the scripture say train up a child? Where are you training them at? You think they just come out of the womb like a damn baby doll? They just already equipped? And I'm talking about, you know how the baby dolls come out with the accessories? Like the Mr. Potato Head, got accessories for this, accessories for that. No, this is real life, y'all. Children don't come out of the womb knowing how to comb their hair, how to wash their face, how to brush their teeth. They have to be taught that, and they're taught that through their parents, starting with the mother. Who's the child's first teacher? Even when the child's still in the womb, it's the mother. But for a man to say this, he's being toxic masculine. He's being a tyrant. Oh, he's being he's just too hard. He's a male chauvinist. Why, when it's the truth? And from what I saw, this is what this brother was doing. He was pointing out the truth about our people. Don't the scriptures tell you, what is it, Isaiah? It says, cry aloud. Yeah, Isaiah 59. Cry aloud, spare not. It says, lift up your voice like a banner and show our people their transgressions. Are we supposed to be hiding our transgressions and sugarcoating our transgressions and the thing that we need work on, the things that we're imperfect in? Are we supposed to be hiding that? Or are we supposed to be showing each other that? We're supposed to be showing each other that and not getting mad because somebody showed it to you. You're supposed to fix it. Oh, damn, I didn't know I was messing up. Let me fix it. It's in the perfect world, though. Anyway, back to what I was reading. Lamentation chapter 4, verse 4. It says, the tongue of the sucking. Nope, you know what? I wanted verse 3 about our women being cruel. And it's, the woman is compared to the ostrich, right? So let's keep that in mind as we go to Job chapter 30. I'm sorry, not chapter 30. Oh, yeah, let me find it. Job chapter 39. Job chapter 39 and verse 13. Giveth thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks? It's a question. Yes, the Most High did do that. It says, are wings the feathers unto the ostrich? That ostrich, once again, now watch this, what it says about the ostrich. It said, which leaveth her egg in the earth and warmeth them in dust, and forget it that the foot may crush them. What does this sound like but a woman that ain't thinking? That a woman that's moving too fast, her mind's all over the damn place? I'm approving. Listen to this. And forget it that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. Now listen to this, verse 17, because God had deprived her of wisdom. Now remember, in Lamentations, it compared our women to who? The ostrich. So if the Most High deprived the ostrich of wisdom, and our women are being compared to the ostrich, what are our women deprived of? Wisdom. It says, neither has he imparted to her understanding. No, they don't have no wisdom, y'all. Woman, if you're listening, the Most High did not bless you with wisdom. This is why you need a man with wisdom to direct you, to keep you from you, to keep you from your scatterbrain, from your mind all over the damn place, from your emotions. And this is what the brother was bringing out. And women, when I say this, when I make these statements, look, y'all, I ain't mad at y'all. That's the way the Most High created y'all to be, emotional. So, no, we can't be mad at them for being emotional. But we can be mad at y'all when the Most High gives y'all a guide, gives y'all a teacher, gives y'all a protector, and y'all don't utilize or appreciate it. And you're still trying to do your own damn thing. Men, contrary to society, woman, black woman, Hispanic woman, Native American woman, you need a man. You need a man to guide and direct you. From there, let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 26. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 26. And it reads, hast thou a wife after thy mind? Question, meaning, does your woman think like you? Does your wife think like you? Does your wife have values that mirror yours? Does your wife have morals that mirror yours? Does your wife have parenting skills that mirror yours? And yours should mirror the Bible, by the way, brothers. So it says, hast thou a wife after thy mind? Forsake her not. Meaning, if you get this woman that mirrors your mind, that's according to the scriptures, don't put her away. Don't leave that woman. That's a good woman. Why is she good? Because she's following your instructions. That's what makes her good. It says, but give not thyself over to a light woman. What's a light woman? She's a damn airhead. She's emotional. She's combative. She's argumentative. She's always trying to second guess you. She thinks she knows better than you. She won't let you lead as a man. That's a light woman. It says, don't give yourself over to her. Go through our history, biblical history, y'all, and see. What was Adam's downfall? Him listening to his woman. What was Samson's downfall? Him listening to his woman. What was Solomon's downfall? A woman. Shouldn't that be telling us something? Message. men, following behind your woman is going to be your quickest downfall. If you're bending to her every will, if you're doing what she wants you to do, you're setting yourself up for faith. Remember, that got us kicked out of the kingdom because you weak as hell for a woman. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 22. How long will this go about, O thou backsliding daughter? Talking about our women. How long is this going to go on? For the Lord has created a new thing. A woman shall compass a man. And that's the new. That's the day and age we're living in right now. The new thing is that a woman compasses a man, and a woman takes control over every aspect. Why? Because we're being weak-ass men. We don't want to step up and be responsible. We're allowing that. How did Adam fall? Yes, it was by the hands of a woman. But he the one gave into it. The same thing with Samson. He gave into his woman. The same thing with Solomon. Gave into his woman. History should be teaching us lessons. Stop being a damn pushover. Stand up and be a man. Take control of your household. Stop wanting her to make all the decisions and do every damn thing for you. Remember, the scriptures tell us a woman that maintains her husband will become bold and impudent. Meaning, impudent means she's just going to wander abroad. Wander all the way around. She's in other people's business, other people's houses. She making other people's issues, making her issues other people's issues, and they ain't even got that issue in their household. We're allowing this to happen. Even on a broad spectrum, man. And you're seeing this. But the baby boy syndrome, where men just grew up emotional as hell. They weren't trained properly. Because dad either was too selfish to teach him any damn thing about how to be a man or about life or responsibility and how not to be emotional as hell. Or dad went off and dipped. He was selfish too. And mama was left to raise him. So now you got this emotional-ass little boy who can't handle pressure, who can't make no decisions. And now he get with a woman that sees this. And now she got to make all the decisions. Now the burden's on her. And what do they end up doing in this relationship? Fighting. They're fighting all the time because both of them are emotional as hell. It's like two dykes. You ever seen the whole dyke world, man? That's a head scratcher. They're constantly breaking up and getting with another chick. Why? Because that's abnormal. That's why. Two emotional creatures were not meant to be together. Who's going to balance who out? This is why you need a man, a masculine spirit, who makes decisions based off of logic and wisdom rather than emotions. This is why the Most High made us this way. He made a man this way so a man could learn how to govern and rule his people, because that starts in the household. Let me prove what I'm saying, man. Let's get Lamentations chapter 4. We're going to go back to Lamentations chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 2. The precious sons of Zion, come on us, the men of Israel, is comparable to fine gold. Once upon a time, we were the standard. It says, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the worst of the hands of the potter? We've downgraded ourselves. We were the standard once upon a time. Now, we just regular old niggas. We're not even a prize for women anymore. Why? Because we're too weak. We're too emotional. We letting them just run circles around us. And we just putting up with anything. Just so we can have a woman. Men, if you out there, brothers, Don't y'all know men outnumber, I'm sorry, women outnumber us? The Most High made it that way. Israelite man can go and get any woman from any nation. The Most High made it that way. Christ said we the salt of the earth, y'all. You don't have to settle for BS. You don't. You don't. But we're so happy just to get a woman that we'll settle for anything and let her do anything, run circles around us, run over us. He got 4 or 5 niggas on the side, and we like, okay, okay, honey, okay. She got this masculine spirit on her, and we now, let me play it. We this right here.
All right, all right, all right. You gonna learn today.
It's the wrong one. We this right here.
And you know what, nigga? You act like a little bitch right now. You act real paranoid and shit.
This is us. They domesticated us, and the roles are reversed now. Because we gave up our power, which is our masculinity, our wisdom that we got from the Most High, that we're supposed to be implementing in our households. But a lot of us ain't. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I know I'm going a little bit over, man, but I have to do this, man. This is needed. First Timothy chapter 3. And let me start at verse 4. So this is talking about a bishop, but I ain't going to read all of it. I'm just going to skip down to the part I'm going to get to. It says, now these are the standards for a bishop. Verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house. So if you want to be a bishop, and a bishop, by the way, is a spiritual leader or a spiritual guide, you got to know how to rule your house. Your house got to be in order. And that starts with what? Getting your woman in order. She can't just be running rampant doing what the hell she want to do. And you hear people that see our households, the men that run their households like this, always talking back, girl, why you got to let get his input? Why you got to ask him permission? I get it from my mama. My own mama, talking to my women, why you got to ask for permission to do X, Y, Z? Because my household is in order. That's why. I'm not going to let them make decisions because they ain't supposed to. They ain't built for that. And it's always the single women talking crap about you having your household in order when they ain't even got a man. That's why she got to come and act me. That's why she got to get permission from me. So she can keep having a man, a protector, a counselor, a friend. Reading on, verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of the Most High? Dude, if you don't know how to get your own house in order, how the hell are you going to have a camp or a congregation? How? When you let your woman wear the pants and make all the decisions. They ain't built for that. That's stressful for a woman. While you're running from your responsibilities doing whatever. They weren't built for that, y'all. So you wonder why now the toxic masculinity, why men are giving a bad name? Because we ain't showing up. We ain't stepping up to the plate. We're just emotional as hell. We're letting them do that. It's time, brothers. If you've been neglecting your household and not being the chief of the household, where all the decisions go through you, where you give the order to do whatever it is around the house and it's executed. If you haven't been doing that, shame on you. it's time for you to step up to the plate and start doing that. So put Netflix up, put the PlayStation down, stop binge watching whatever show you're watching, stop watching the finals and the playoffs, NBA playoffs, and rule your house. Stop letting your woman make all the decisions, then you get mad when she do some jacked up stuff she shouldn't have did. But you wasn't there to make the decision. You didn't make yourself available to make the decision. So once again, y'all, if you're just tuning in, this was my take on the brother Kevin Samuels. I don't see none he was doing that was wrong. He was telling the truth. He was telling the truth about women and how they're led by their emotions and they're not real with themselves. And he was also telling the truth about men, how men just settle for anything. And men are not stepping up to the plate. So that's my take on that, y'all. So now I'm transitioning over to class. What is love? And, you know, this topic, man, came about because I really wasn't planning on doing this topic, man. But I had a conversation with a brother, and this question was posed. And... and I had to think about it. Like, man, what is it? What really is it? Is it a feeling? Because we've been brought up that way to believe that love is definitely a feeling. It's what you feel, how you feel about somebody, right? So let me read y'all this definition for the word love. It reads, a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. That is the first definition, because this is what we've learned. But I'm going to go into it to show you that they don't know what love is. Who wrote this definition? We know it's Esau. They don't have a clue what love is. And we're going to get into it, man, and find out that love is an action. It's what you do. But it's a type of action. We're going to get into that. So let me start. Let's go to the very beginning. Let's get Genesis chapter 2, y'all. Let's get Genesis chapter 2. Once again, we're transitioning over from new current events to the actual class, what is love. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, I'm going to read this. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And we know that that man was Adam, right? Reading on. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. So he commanded him. He gave him an order, a commandment. And I went over this before, man. We had commandments from the very beginning. This proves it. Verse 17. Now listen. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So this was a commandment that the Most High gave to man, to Adam, in the very beginning. Everybody seeing this? All right. Now let's jump over to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 22. Now remember, Adam was given what, y'all? He was given paradise. He was given parental treatment, favoritism, if you will. But why was he given that favoritism? Because the Most High gave him a commandment, a law for him to live by, for him to follow, rules for him to follow. And as long as he followed them, he was going to be given that favoritism. Now listen to this, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, now, let me paint the setting. This is the whole Garden of Eden scenario or act in which Eve brought the apple. Now, I ain't going to say apple, y'all, because that's a damn lie. Eve brought the fruit back to her husband. And we know that that fruit was a doctrine. I ain't going to break down this chapter now. We know that that fruit was a doctrine. So Eve brought that fruit or that doctrine back to her husband, and he partook in that doctrine, which eventually got them kicked out of the garden. So this is the aftermath. Now listen to this. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Because remember, all we knew was good in the very beginning. But after Adam partook in this doctrine and this knowledge that was not of good, it was evil, he knew both sides. Reading on. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. So because this man had picked up a doctrine that he had no business picking up, he has no had no business learning, he got kicked out of the garden. Because what did the Most High instruct him to do in Genesis 2 and verse 15? Not to eat of that tree, not to partake of that doctrine. So because he did, he got kicked out of the garden. So he lost his what? He lost his preferential treatment. He lost the favoritism that the Most High had given him. But I'm going to read on. It says, verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, listen to this, and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden. I'm sorry, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So because Adam didn't obey, he didn't listen to the Most High and do what he was told to do, he lost the Most High's what? He lost the Most High's favoritism or the Most High's love. Because what is favoritism but love? So we're finding out that love is not that emotion. Well, let me read the definition again. A profound, tender, passionate affection for another person. That's a feeling, y'all. That's a feeling. But love is an action. Love is a transitional action. Love is transitional. People don't want to hear this. And people might not even agree. But think about it. When you say you love somebody, somebody might ask you, well, why do you love them? And you say, well, I love them because of the way they make me feel. So if they didn't make you feel that way, would you still love them? Which shows you what? No, you wouldn't still love them because they don't make you feel that way, but it shows you what? It's transitional or transactional. You love this person because they make you feel this way. So when they stop making you feel this way, you ain't going to love them no more. Right? We see it all the time. Couples get divorced. Couples break up. Why do couples break up? The wife might say, well, he don't treat me the way he used to treat me. And because he ain't treating you the way he used to treat you, you lost your love for him. So how is that an emotion? That's an action. That's a transitional action. Because you ain't getting out of the relationship what you previously got, your love is going away. You're losing your love. I hope everybody is seeing this, understanding this. This is the same thing that happened with Adam in the garden with the Most High. The Most High was losing his love for Adam. Why? Because Adam disobeyed. He didn't hold up his end of the bargain. So he lost love or favoritism with the Most High. I'm going to keep proving this. Let's go to Genesis now. We're going to stay in Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1. Now, this is the story of Cain and Abel. Now, watch this. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Now listen to this. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. What does that mean, the Lord had respect unto Cain and his offering? The definition for respect. An act of giving particular attention. So the Most High, because of Abel's offering, he gave him particular attention. Definition number three for respect. It says high or special regard. So because of what Abel brought, the Most High gave him particular attention, and he held Abel in high regard, special regard. Why? Because of his offering. So is it safe to say because of what Abel offered the Lord loved him? Yeah, it's safe to say that, because that's what actually happened. Because he brought what the Most High asked him for, the Most High gave him his love. He gave him his acceptance. Because remember, let me read it again. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He accepted his offering because he brought what he asked him for. Now watch this, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. So why didn't he respect Cain? Why didn't he, the definition for respect again, give Cain partial attention? Why didn't he have Cain in high or special regard? Because he didn't bring what he asked him for. Why didn't the Most High love Cain? Because he didn't bring him what he asked for. He didn't uphold his end of the bargain. Therefore, he wasn't loved. Hope everybody's seeing this. Reading on. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And this is how we be, all emotional. When we bring or give what we want to give or what we want to bring, and we're not appreciated or accepted or loved, now we going through changes. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now listen to what the Most High told Cain. Verse 7, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? I hope everybody's seeing this. He's like, Cain, if you do good, then I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you if you do good. Now listen to what it said. Let me finish it. And if thou do it not well, sin lieth at the door. If you don't do good, then I'm not going to accept you. I'm not going to accept you, or I'm not going to love you. Because why? You ain't doing what I asked you to do. Think about it, brothers. When do you really, really love your woman? Is it only when she's making your toes curl? Or is it when she's doing the stuff you told her to do? I know for me, that's an easy answer. I love when she's doing what I told her to do, man. That makes me love her. Because to be honest with you, if she ain't, then you ain't going to have them intimate moments where she gets to make your toes curl. Because you ain't going to be attracted to her at a particular time. The Most High deals with us the same way. He ain't attracted to us. When we ain't doing what he tell us to do, he don't love us when we ain't doing what he tell us to do. No different than your kid. Tell me you love your kid when they come home with, what's the damn thing, bad write-ups on their daily activity thing. My daughter came home with one yesterday. Tell me you really love your child at that moment. Hell no, you don't. You're disappointed. Why? Because your child is not upholding his or her end of the bargain. Like the Most High just told Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't, you won't. Which shows us what? Love is a transitional action. You don't just love somebody because you love them. Why do you love them? I just love them because I love them. No, you don't. Like I say, it can be something as basic as the way they make you feel. Because usually when you ask somebody that, okay, the way they make you feel, how they make you feel? Well, he makes me feel safe. He makes me feel appreciated. All that is transactional. Y'all know that, right? If somebody is making you feel safe, then they have to be doing something to make you feel safe. And if they stop doing that stuff they're doing to make you feel safe, or you still going to love them? No, you ain't. Because love is a transitional action. I'm going to keep proving this. Let's go to 1 John now, chapter 5, verse 3. Watch this. And to be honest with y'all, man, I could have just pulled this one scripture, and this would have been the whole class. But you're not going to be all like that. 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 3. Now, listen to this. For this is the love of God. Now, I got to clarify, y'all. When we talk about love, we're supposed to be talking about the way the Most High views love, or his definition of love, because his definition is the only one that matters, not the worldly definition. But I'm covering it from both sides. But the Most High's definition of love is the one we should have in our mind. Is the one that really matters. So, with that said, let me read this again. 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. What's the love of God? What is love? Keeping your end of the bargain. The commandments, none more than a contract that we signed with the Most High. A contract that what? We going to do all these rules he gave us, we're going to follow them. And if we follow them, then we get his love. Now watch this. And his commandments are not grievous, meaning it's not too much to do. The rules are not too much. Why are the rules not too much? Because this is how we get the love. I'm going to read this again. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So you want to know what love is? It's keeping somebody's rules, man. But that's transactional. I hope everybody's seeing this. You're keeping the rules. I love you because you keep the rules. What's the rules? You don't go and sleep with some other nigga. That's the rule. And that's why I love you. I love you, why? Because you train up the child the way it should go. When they get older, it's not. That's why I love you. Proverbs 14:1, a wise woman builds her house. That's why I love you, because you're working on building the house. You keep the house in order. That's why I love you. That's transactional. You're keeping the rules. That's why I love you. Babe, that's why I love you. Go, girl. I've been watching more than y'all. That's why I love you. Love is a transitional action, y'all. Let's go to 2 Ezra now. Keep proving this. The Most High loves us because we keep his commandments. Like the scripture just said, this is the love of the Most High. We keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. So this is love. give people all the time, say, God's love, God's love. God loves you. How do we know God loves you? Because you're keeping the rules that he gave you. That's why he don't love you. Now watch this. 2 Ezra chapter 5. And let me start at verse 24. And of all lands of the whole world, thou hast chosen thee one tit, and of all the flowers thereof, one lily. So this is talking about the Most High's favorites. So the tit, that being Jerusalem, his favorite flower being a lily. Verse 25. And of all the depths of the sea, thou hast filled thee one river, and all builded cities, thou hast hallowed Zion unto thyself. So this is his favorite city. Verse 26, and of all the flowers that are created, thou hast named thee one dove. So the Most High, I'm tripping. Read again, verse 26, and of all of the fowls, not flowers, fowls that are created, thou hast named thee one dove. So the dove is the Most High's favorite. And of all the cattle that are made, thou hast provided thee one sheep. So of all the cattle, whether it be goats, whether it be cows, whether it be buffalo, the Most High prefers the sheep. Verse 27. And among all the multitude of peoples, listen to this, thou hast gotten thee one people, and unto this people whom thou lovest, thou gave it a law that is approved of all. So the one people that is talking about the children of Israel. And that lineage going all the way back to Adam. The Most High chose one people that he loved. But why does the Most High love these people? Because they follow his law, statutes, and commandments. That's why he loves us. I hope everybody is seeing this. That's why. Because he loves us. Now watch this. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 5. So we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 5, it says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. It's like we just read, 2 Ezra. Even as the Lord my God commanded me, this is Moses speaking, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. So wherever we go, we got to keep the law, statutes, and commandments. Why? In order to get the Most High's love. It's conditional. It says, verse 6, keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. So what's so important about the commandments? The commandments is our wisdom and our understanding. That's why it's so important to keep them, so we can stay wise and we can stay understanding as a people. And this is what brings us close to the Most High and gives us the Most High's love. Now, listen to this. It's your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. So all the nations are going to see what? The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we got from who? From the Most High. And also, in return, they're going to see the love that the Most High has for us because he didn't give it to them. Remember? Fact was, particular attention, high regard, special regard. That's the definition for respect. Now listen to this. Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why? Because we got the Most High's love. The Most High's love is his law, statutes, and commandments, y'all. Once again, love is transitional. Now watch this. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16. And where I want to start, let's start at verse 1. We're going to jump a little bit. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination. Matter of fact, I just want to verse 1. Let me read verse 1 again. Ezekiel 16 and 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And the Most High told him to say this to the children of Israel. Verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, the thee is us, is the Israelites, is our conception. This is in the very beginning. He said, behold, thy time was the time of love. So the Most High say when he passed by us, it was the time of what? It was the time of love. How was it the time of love? Because that was the time the Most High gave us laws, statutes, and commandments. Now listen to this. It says, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. The nakedness, let me prove it. Nakedness is shame, y'all. Let's get Isaiah 47 and 3. And I'm sorry, y'all. This is when we came out of Egypt. He's talking about Isaiah 47 and verse 3. Let's prove what nakedness is talking about. Isaiah 47 and verse 3. And it reads, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. What is nakedness according to the Bible? It's shame. So when the Most High, go back to Ezekiel chapter 16 now, verse 8. And this is when we came out of Egypt. This is what he's talking about. He says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. A skirt is a covering. And covered thy nakedness. So the Most High said he covered our shame up. You have to be shamed no more. But remember, he said it was the time of love. Now, why was it the time of love? Listen to this. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee. A covenant is a contract. That's letting you know, when he said it was a time of love, it was the time that the contract was drawn up. This was transactional, y'all. He says, and enter into a covenant with thee, a contract with thee, said the Lord God. And thou, listen to this, became mine. Once we agreed to the contract, now when was this contract? What? How was it drawn up? Let's get it. Let's get Exodus chapter 19. Remember, he said that was the time of love. Exodus chapter 19 and start of verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. You know, and Moses went up unto the mountain, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Listen to this. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye, listen to this, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, the contract, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. What is the Most High saying in verse 5? If you keep my rules, then I'll love you. I'll accept you. Then you'll be mine. Then I can call you by my name. Then I'll love you. Once again, love is transactional, y'all. I hope everybody's seeing this. Now let's get Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. What is the Most High saying right here? These are the nations that he destroyed for us. But why? Because he loved us. How do we know he loved us? Because he entered into a contract with us. The contract signifies the Most High's love. If we keep it, he will love us. Come on, man. You ever heard a man or seen in a movie where a man said, I'll kill for you? Why would a man make that statement about his woman? Because he loves her. That's why. He don't want no harm to come to her. You ain't finna just run up on this woman. He will literally kill you for that. But that's love. That's what the Most High is letting be known right here. Isaiah 53 and 1. I'm sorry, 53 and 3. Read again. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. What? If you had a loved one that was held hostage and you had to pay the ransom, if you had the ransom, wouldn't you pay it? If you really loved that loved one, you would pay the ransom so you could get them back. With the Most High saying, he gave Egypt, him destroying Egypt and all their gods, all their deities, was the ransom that he paid for the nation that he loves. I hope everybody's getting this. But why is the Most High say he loves us? Because he entered into a contract, an arrangement. Ain't that something? Even in the world, when people get married, what are they doing when they enter into what they call holy matrimony? They're making an arrangement. They even have it in the vows, what, for good or for poor, right? To death do us part. That's an arrangement. That's a contract. So if this person doesn't be with me in good and in bad times, did they just void the contract? Yes, they did. So are they telling me that they don't love me no more? Absolutely they are. Because that was part of the contract. That was part of the arrangement. That was part of the agreement. You know, and it's funny too, people in the world, women in the world, they get up all upset when they see a woman that's been living with a man for X amount of years. Girl, I don't know why you still him. He ain't married you yet. He ain't made no arrangements with you. Girl, you playing yourself cheap. You need to get somebody that really loves and cares for you. Idiot. If they've been together this long, hopefully, that's what he's been doing. That's exactly what he's been doing. That's why she's still with him. Idiot. And that's the thing about worldly marriages, man. They're so superficial and so ignorant. If you already with somebody, first of all, we know that
biblically speaking, sexual intercourse is marriage. All right? That's the actual act. But I want to put this disclaimer out there. Just because you lay down with somebody, don't make them your husband or your wife. Because Solomon had concubines. Remember that. There's a certain criteria you have to meet as a husband, and there's a certain criteria you have to meet as a wife. That's what makes you a wife or a husband. You're doing those duties. You're actually doing them, not in name, but in deed. So that's my disclaimer for intercourse being marriage, because it is, like I said, it was hoes in the Bible too. Anyway, America's definition or the worldly definition of marriage is this superficial stuff where the man got to get down on bending knee and he's got to confess his love and all of this. And if you don't go through that, then you're not married, according to the world. But you'll have people that be together, they be working it out, they have arrangements set up to where, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. To be your man, you're going to do X, Y, Z to be my woman. And that arrangement's fine. But you have outsiders come in and say what? God, he don't love you because he didn't put a ring on your finger. That goes back to that emotional crap that we think is love, the definition, the affection. He ain't got you no flowers, he don't love you. That's not true. If he's doing what he's supposed to do as a husband, as a father, as a man, he does love you. The flowers, that's the icing on the cake. The presents or the gifts, that's the icing on the cake. We're seeing that love is transactional, y'all. You do something for me, I love you. If you stop doing that something for me, then my love's going to start to dwindle. The Most High is the same way. Let's get Jeremiah chapter 31. This is why he even brought up what he did for us right here. Because what happens when the person you with that you love starts tripping? You start doing what? Throwing up the stuff in their face you did for them? Right or wrong? I can't believe you acting like this. I did this. I did X, Y, Z for you. Hey, I took care of the kids. What even mine? I did it. Who was there for you when your mama died? Who was there for you when you lost your job? Who was there? You start bringing up the stuff you did because the stuff you did shows the person what? You were doing or holding up your end of the bargain, and that's called love. That's called love. This is what the Most High is doing right here. He's bragging about the things he did for us to show that he's living up to his end of the bargain. Now, let's get Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 11. For the Lord had redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. The Most High is showing he's been holding up his end of the bargain as far as love is concerned. Just because we ain't been holding up our end of the bargain don't mean that the contract is not null and void. It don't mean that. Second Samuel chapter 7 verse 23. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. this is Samuel bragging on the Most High's love that he has for us. He's given the Most High's accolades or his battles that he's had for us to prove what? His love. Because that's what a couple in a relationship might say. We say, you love me? Well, show me you love me. Tingly feeling. If you tell somebody to show you that they love you, just because you hug and kiss somebody don't mean you love them. If somebody's telling you to show you, show me that you love me, they're asking for action. They want you to do something. And it's going to be transactional. Remember, man, go back to the story of Samson. What did Delilah tempt him with? What made him spill his guts out to her? She said, you said you love me. That's what she used. If you love me. If you love me. And then what did he do? He spilled his damn beans like a sucker. And she got what she wanted. Because he thought that was love. What was that song Brownstone had? If you love me, do it. If you trust me, prove it. All transactional, y'all. We're caught up in the fantasy of what we think love is, man. But that ain't what love actually is. Love is transactional. It's conditional. We got this damn thing in our head about unconditional love. There's no such thing as unconditional love. If your kid shoots you in the foot, you still gonna love them? Shoot you in the foot on purpose, or you still gonna love that kid? If your kid murders your husband, you still gonna love him? Hell no, you ain't. Stop this nonsense, man. Unconditional love. No such thing. No such thing as damn unconditional love. If your wife is going around sucking the whole neighborhood off, are you still gonna love her unconditionally? Real talk, man. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. 2. I have loved you, said the Lord, and he has. His actions prove it. The contract that we entered into with him proves it. It says, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? This is what we say. Oh, how can you say you loved us? You've just been cruel to us. You've been hard on us. This is why it says, wherein hast thou loved us? Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? What you mean? You ain't loved us? We ain't had nothing but hard times from you. Now watch this. Ezekiel chapter 18. And let me start at verse 24. But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and do it according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? The question. And all his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. So it's telling you, if you're righteous, but you turn to start doing wicked stuff, then your righteousness ain't going to matter no more. It says, all his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned, and his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Now watch this, because this is what's fair right here. If you do good, like we read way back in Genesis, if you do good, shall thou not be accepted? He says, but if you don't, sin lies at the door. So if we do good, the Most High loves us. We're holding up our end of the bargain. But if we don't, he ain't. He gonna punish us. Now watch this, verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Just like it said in Malachi, wherein has you loved us? Because we think just because we're getting punished by the Most High that he don't love us. But that is not the case at all. Let me read this. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Or not your ways unequal? Because we think what? That the Most High is supposed to love us no matter what. We're caught up in that damn saying that we have on billboards, Jesus loves you no matter what. Where did he get that at? Where did he get that from? The Most High's love is conditional. He said, is not my way equal or not your ways unequal? Yes, our ways are unequal. We think we can do anything under the sun and just be approved, just be accepted. We capable of doing A work, but we doing damn D-minus work and think we're supposed to get the pat on the back or attaboy. It does not work like that. Wives, if your husband ain't doing his job as a husband and running a household and have you make all these hard-ass decisions that you don't want to make, ain't you going to feel some kind of way? Are you going to be able to cook his meal with love now? Are you going to be touchy-feely with him? Hell no, you're going to feel some kind of way. Why? Because he's not holding up to his end of the bargain. His end of the contract. Ain't that why you married him? Because you knew marrying him, you had to worry about all that. He's going to take care of it, right? That's what made you fall in love with him. Women always say that too. I'm looking for a good man. Good man. What's a good man? A man that's going to take care of his business. Women are attracted to that. And because he's tall, dark, and handsome, do he take care of his kids? Check. Does he run his household? Check. Yeah, work ethic, keep a job, check. Does he roll a wisdom, check? Oh, man, that man is sexy. Any woman in her right mind would think this. The Most High said our ways are not equal, and they ain't. Because we caught up in that touchy-feely love. And that ain't even love, man. It's just a feeling. That's all it is. Butterflies. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Because I made this statement also. We get all bent out of shape when the Most High be punishing us for us not holding up our end of the bargain so we can receive his love. But we be not understanding this right here. So it's Hebrews chapter 12, and what verse I'm on? Verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. Exhortation means warning or strong urging, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now listen to this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So why are you getting punished? Because you ain't holding up your end of the bargain. But does that mean the Most High don't love you? No. He's punishing you because you ain't living up to your end of the bargain, because he loves you. Remember, we enter into a contract with him. This is how you get his love. You have to hold up your end of the contract. You don't get the Most High's grace and blessings and you doing you. It don't work like that. Hell, you ain't going to keep doing stuff for your kid when your kid is acting up in school, or acting up at the crib, talking back to you, not cleaning. Verse 7, it says, if ye endure chastening, I'm sorry, let me read verse 6 again. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. If you don't go through the punishments that the Most High has you go through, and you just become a disgruntled kid, then you're going to be counted as a bastard, man. A child without a father, without the love of a father. Now, let's get this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. I got like 2 minutes. Listen to this, y'all. People say God loves unconditionally. I don't know what book y'all reading. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11. So what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or goats. So Most High said he's tired of us going through the motions. Now let me jump to where I want to go. He says, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Most High said, man, let's reason. Now watch this. He said, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. The condition. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. So the Most High's love is conditional. Us being forgiven is conditional. Love, y'all, is conditional. It's not unconditional. Now, that, I heard the 60-minute mark. Now, y'all can write these down. St. John 15 and 14, where Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's conditional. That's transactional. St. John chapter 14 and 15, and St. John chapter 15 and verse 14, which says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. That's transactional. That's conditional. Also, St. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, where Christ is talking about, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's conditional. So with that, y'all, I'm going to end it. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Tuzzle Pod Tuesdays, Tuzzle Pod Tuesdays, Tuzzle Pod Tuesdays every Tuesday. The Water Machine hooking up the broadcast. Shalom, Israel. Y'all have a good day.